This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Nathan King here from the Auburn Undercover Podcast. Wanted to just remind everybody about one of our great sponsors here on the 24/7 Sports Network, and that is Home Field Apparel. What is Home Field Apparel? You guys, the premium collegiate apparel brand out of Indianapolis that produces incredibly comfortable, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs like Auburn and all of their great logos and designs that they've had throughout their history. Home Field digs through the archives and history of your school to find unique logos, mascots, and moments to make thoughtful designs for your school. Obviously, one of their most popular collections is the Auburn collection now. Now over 20 pieces in total on their site, homefieldapparel.com. If you guys were anywhere on social media, you were part of the Peacock movement. If you're an Auburn fan of the Auburn basketball season, they've got a great Peacock shirt and Peacock hoodie that says Auburn Hoops. Easily my favorite design of theirs. It's a great, great piece of work for an Auburn fan to pick up to commemorate this basketball season. You guys can still get 15% off your first purchase at homefieldapparel.com with the code AuburnUndercover. That's all caps, all one word. Auburn Undercover. Please go check it out. You guys love their product, have loved it for a really long time. If you guys have been anywhere in the world of college athletics in the past couple of years in terms of social media, like I talked about, they have been phenomenal. They've done a really good job of branding themselves, and they back it up with a great product. And Auburn is one of their biggest sellers, like that new Peacock jacket I was just telling you guys about. So be sure to go pick that up. Get 15% off your first purchase. Again, promo code all caps Auburn Undercover at checkout at homefieldapparel.com. Welcome back, everybody. Another edition here of the Auburn Undercover Podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King. Of course, we are now just a couple days away from Auburn's first division matchup of the season against LSU. At 6 p.m. Central on ESPN, Auburn is looking to win three straight games in this series. It's kind of crazy to think about. They have an opportunity to do that. Trying to win three straight games in this series for the first time since Pat Dye handed the keys over to Terry Bowden in the early 90s. 1994 was the last time that they won that many in this series. Both teams are 3-1 and 1-0 in conference play, though it doesn't really feel that way. It feels like these are two teams going in pretty different directions. You've got LSU on a three-game winning streak, some mini winning streak after they lost that opener to Florida State, and Auburn won its SEC opener last weekend by the skin of its teeth over Missouri, though it hasn't performed very well at all in the past three games of the season. Joined here by Jason Caldwell and Mark Murphy on our roundtable show. Philip was unable to join us this week, but we'll have him back next week for the roundtable episode. And Mark, I feel like, again, these are two teams that are going in seemingly different directions, at least relative to where we are. We're only a fourth of the way through the season. Still a very small sample size, but LSU came out a little shaky in Brian Kelly's debut. I don't think a lot of people thought Florida State was going to win that game. And to Florida State's discredit, I guess, they tried not to win that game. They made a lot of bad coaching decisions, as did LSU toward the end of that game. But, seems like they've kind of gotten their footing under them a little bit better over these past couple weeks, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. This is going to be yet another talented quarterback coming in. Jaden Daniels has a lot of experience going back to Arizona State. And I, you know, you just feel like with when you look at Auburn, they're not going to score that much in this game. So you probably need to keep LSU from, you know, three sustained touchdown drives in this game for LSU with Daniels. If he's able to hit on his guys, is probably not a good thing. You probably don't put yourself in a very good position to win. So I think that's going to be, you know, the point of emphasis number one for this defense is keeping him from getting outside the pocket and making plays like he does when he gets creative and giving them a chance to move down the field.
Yeah, I like Jaden Daniels as a quarterback. Watched him a lot on the Pac-12 after dark games in recent years, and thought he was one of the better players in that league, Nathan. And yeah, I agree with you. These are two teams that are right now, unless something changes on Saturday night, they're going in different directions. LSU lost that first game not because Florida State was better, more talented. It was just LSU didn't look like they were prepared at all, disorganized, and basically gave that game away. And I think LSU was embarrassed by that so much. They came out very sharp in game two against Southern, the first time they'd ever played a university there in the same city there in Baton Rouge. And I really believe LSU could have scored 100 points in that game if they hadn't called the dogs off. And it was a 65 or whatever. But, I mean, they really went easy on Southern. But the game that impressed me was, you know, they beat a good Mississippi State team down in Baton Rouge. And they came back. I think they were down something like 16-3 in the second quarter, scored right before halftime and got the momentum changed and just went out there and played good physical football in the second half and beat Mississippi State, which is one of the more physical teams in the SEC from what I've seen. So, yeah, this is going to be a real challenging game for Auburn. And, you know, the Tigers of Auburn really should be 2-2. You know, they had that game handed to them. And if that was the case, if they were 2-2, you know, Auburn would not have a victory over a Power 5 opponent since the Ole Miss game, I guess, last October. So, Auburn's still got a lot of proving to do to a lot of folks, guys.
And obviously it starts, we talked about it earlier this week, but this matchup for Auburn, if they hope to do anything, starts on the offensive line. We were talking about it before we started rolling, Jason, but even without Mason Smith, there was that five-star defensive tackle who had that really unfortunate injury celebrating against Florida State. It knocked him out for the year. This is still an impressive front. It's still got impressive pass rushers. It's still got a lot of talent on the interior. And you're asking a lot of this Auburn offensive line to be able to not only move the ball, just move the front of the line, you know, be able to create push up there against this talented of a defensive front. Because as we saw against Missouri, which was not as talented along the defensive front, weren't able to create many running lanes. And all indications are that it's going to be Robbie Ashford again at quarterback. And he's not as experienced a passer as a guy like TJ Finley. So you need to do everything in your power to be able to make this a simple game plan for him. And that starts with running the ball. And that's going to be a challenge yet again this weekend.
Yeah. And, yeah, no question that you look at it. It's kind of the same song, you know, 17th verse. You know, if you're Auburn football, you're playing a big game, knowing that your running game's got to step up and make plays. And, you know, they haven't consistently done that in a couple of years. We've seen flashes of it at times, but, you know, you really got to go back to about 2017 to go, yeah, that team was able to run the football against everybody. And look what that team did until Kerryon Johnson got hurt. They were in a position to make the playoffs. And so, you know, it's in my mind, it's a must. Auburn must be able to run the football Saturday against LSU to have a chance. And so, will we see some different, you know, looks on the offensive line? Obviously, we're going to see one with no Tate Johnson at center. You're going to see a different look there. Won't be surprised to see Brandon Council at center to give them more size, more experience. Big guy, this played there when he was at Akron. He got some snaps at center position, and you could see, you know, Brandon Council, Alec Jackson, Keandre Jones, Cam Stutz, kind of in the middle of that, you know, three of those four guys. If you do that, you're talking about 320 plus for all those guys. The big question for me is, you know, the snapping, especially in the shotgun. It was an issue in the preseason a little bit at times. So that's something you have to be wary of. But if you do that, you might have to go under center a little bit more and do some different things. But doing different things right now offensively might not be a bad thing, you know, because they got to find some answers, and you got to do it pretty quickly because this schedule only gets tougher as you move forward when you start talking about things for Auburn. You know, LSU is a solid team, really good defense, and it has done this thing. In my mind right now, they're not in the top half of the teams on Auburn's schedule, and most of those are coming up here in the second half of this schedule. And so if you're Auburn, you better start finding some answers on offense pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it's crazy all the issues we've talked about for Auburn and, you know, just the outlook for the at least the immediate future of the season, just not necessarily the brightest, but at the end of the day, they do have an opportunity to go 4-1 in this stretch, which we talked about before the season started as being absolutely crucial. We said, can't go 3-2, probably just can't do it. Because like Jason just said, the wins don't get any easier. By the way, Jason, ESPN FPI now only a 51% chance for Auburn to beat Western Kentucky. I don't know if I believe that, but it's the metrics like Western Kentucky because of what they've done on offense. So just sort of hits home on your point of things not getting any easier. But this has been such a crazy series. My first experience with this was my freshman year's 2016 was I heard it referred to as the six kicks, which is pretty clever. I don't know if anybody had ever dubbed that one before, but obviously Daniel Carlson making six field goals in that game, it comes down to, you know, there's no time left and they don't actually get the playoff and Les Miles gets fired the next day. Mark, I just, you know, what are some of your favorite memories from Auburn LSU games? I know y'all, I just kind of wanted to give y'all an opportunity. We haven't done that much this week of, you know, whether it's on the field, off the field, just, you know, in this series, I think, you know, so many fans and obviously us as reporters have so many experiences with either LSU fans or games that happen. Just it's been a crazy series just year after year. I guess just what are some of the most memorable moments for you covering this series throughout the years?
Well, I think it was the 2006 game, 7-3 at Jordan-Hare Stadium is the most physical college football game or any kind of football game I've ever seen. And while it was going on, while the sports writers were up in the press box, were talking to each other about, can you believe how these guys are hitting each other? And I doubt I'll ever see another game that's comparable to that. And, of course, the game at Jordan-Hare Stadium when this old sports arena game was dubbed the night the barn burned, that was just surreal, Nathan. It was just like we were in the old press box, which is around the 50-yard line, and we could see over towards the student section, we could see flames leaping above the student section. And, you know, one of my friends in the fire department told me, he said, if the wind had been blowing the wrong direction, that would have been a true major disaster. Fortunately, nobody got hurt. Just the old basketball arena burned down. And what happened was somebody, it was a rainy day, and somebody started a barbecue grill. They put it up underneath the eaves of this old arena, which was World War II surplus airplane hangar that they had shipped in from a air base in Louisiana, had it cut into pieces, put on train and shipped to Auburn, and then reassembled. And it was all this really dry hardwood. And that thing went up like crazy. And those are the games that really stand out. And, you know, Auburn's win down in Baton Rouge, 41-7, when it was very unexpected. That one stands out too. And there's a couple games that, you know, like 2017, down in Baton Rouge, Auburn just absolutely gave that game away. And it was probably Coach Gus Malzahn's worst performance as a head coach at Auburn. And boy, he irritated the fan base like no other game that I can remember.
I'm watching back some videos right now of the barn burning game. That's just crazy. It's terrifying. Looking from inside that you can see some of the players. Did they stop play on the field?
Yeah, you could feel the heat, you know, from that and you know, inside the stadium. It was surreal. It was, and even, that game still wasn't as surreal as the 1994 interception game, the turnover game. I mean, we never see anything like that one again. You know, it was, you know, very similar to last weekend, and something you think you've never seen before. And it happened. You know, Curley Hallman, I mean, hey, that was infamous that day. If LSU had never run an offensive play other than kneeling on the football, they'd have won that game. No question, because Auburn was not going to move anything offensively on that day. Gabe Northern, I remember him. Gabe Northern was all over the place and, made a ton of plays on that day. That game stands out to me. And then 2004, that game, you know, the touchdown pass to Courtney Taylor pushed that team from thinking it was pretty good to knowing it was good. And it was after that, it was like, hey, we're going to go out and roll everybody. And they did from that point moving forward. So those are a couple of games that stand out to me.
That 1994 secondary, that was the mother of all ball hawk groups back there. Those guys, if they were on this team, Auburn team this year, they would make a difference because, you know, any ball in the air, they thought it was their ball. And they were so much fun to watch. And I'm with Jason. I was up in the press box saying, surely LSU is not going to throw another pass. Why would they? Just drop on the ball and punt. Do it three times, and you win by a couple touchdowns. And it was the biggest gift I've ever seen given to Auburn, even more than last week against Missouri.
Yeah, at least that day that Auburn did something to make them, you know, gift. They did last week, you know, Auburn didn't do anything in return. Auburn just sat there and received those gifts. At least they did have to make a play against LSU. So I had to give them a little bit of credit.
But the comeback was just so improbable in the 94 game. That game was over after three quarters if they just hadn't gone brain dead.
Yeah, it's similar to how the 2017 game felt. I mean, that was an LSU. Did they lose to Troy the week before or 2 weeks before? I think they lost to Troy literally the week before they played Auburn. I know I remember Aubie dressed up as a Trojan. I was in the band. I traveled to that trip, and I think Hastings caught the touchdown to put Auburn up 20-0. And we had Neck as a stands tune. We had had it throughout the year, played it very sparingly, but you never would have once thought to call it. To call out that for Dr. Spurlin to call it at LSU. But when Auburn goes up 20-0 in the second quarter, I think he was feeling pretty nice, feeling like we were in a good spot there. And so he called out Nick, and then so we played that in LSU Stadium, and then they lost the game from there. So I always point to that whenever anybody asks, you know, what in the world happened. It was a bad coaching job by Gus Malzahn, but I blame the idea of playing Neck in LSU Stadium.
He looked like he'd seen a ghost in the post-game locker
room. Really, really.
Down there at Tiger Stadium. It was tense, to say the least.
Yeah, that was Chark had the big punt return at the end of the game. You know, the two losses to LSU, 13-17, ended up really not mattering. In 13, they obviously go on to the national title game, and in 17, I think it was kind of a wake-up call, honestly, for them to pick it up the rest of the season and go on to win the West. Something that Glenn West brought up today, one of our guys from over at the LSU 24/7 site, who brought up was that performance in 2019 down in Baton Rouge. Jason, that was the night we had that incredible that seafood place in Mississippi the night before. But I still think about that seafood pasta, by the way. But Derrick Brown just unstoppable in that game. That was the only game all season for LSU where Joe Burrow did not have multiple touchdown passes. He had one in that game against everybody else, including playoffs, including the national title game against Clemson, had multiple touchdown passes. And so, yeah, just a crazy series. I'm sure, again, the rainy conditions, I think they're kind of weaning off a little bit as we get closer to kickoff time, but still should make for a pretty weird atmosphere. There's always weird factors that go into this game. Anyway, we'll get now to something we talked about wanting to do before the show. Get around a little bit talking more about the matchup, and then we'll make our predictions. I guess I'll start with you, Jason. What is one thing Auburn needs to do in this game in order to have a chance to win? And then what is something that if they do in this game, they will have a they will not have a good chance to win? I guess just what are the factors that could lead to what is the biggest factor that could lead to a win? And what is the biggest factor that you think would give LSU the best chance to win?
Yeah, I can jump out and be Captain Obvious, but they can't turn it over much. And this offense needs help. This Auburn offense needs help from its defense. We saw it last week. And heck, if they don't get help from the defense against Missouri, who knows if they score anything more than a touchdown until, you know, unless they get in overtime. The defense needs to help this offense. They got to create some field position, create some negative plays, create some turnovers. And it's not something Jaden Daniels has done a ton of. Now, he's had some of the last 2 years. He has not thrown an interception this year. And can Auburn create some issues? I mean, this is an LSU offensive line that starts true freshmen at both tackles. That should be an advantage for Auburn. But the issue is you got to put them in third and long situations. You got to put them in some obvious passing downs. And can you create some turnovers, get the ball back in positive field position, maybe some plus situations? To me, that's the recipe for success right now for Auburn. I just don't think you can be even or definitely not negative in turnovers. And I just don't know if this offense has enough firepower to go out and score enough points unless the defense helps them out this weekend.
Mark, I know there's not a bunch of options in terms of things Auburn needs to do well. It obviously all starts on offense.
Right. And, you know, my offensive key, I would say, is do something – make a couple big plays on offense, you know, run the zone read and, you know, get Robbie Ashford out on the corner and make a guy on defense go the wrong way, take a step in the wrong direction, and he can turn what should be a 5-play gain into a touchdown. You know, I think LSU is going to put 8 guys up near the line of scrimmage a lot in running situations, and I think Auburn will try to run the ball against that. They've been trying to do it so far. But every once in a while when teams do that, somebody's going to misfit a gap or a running back is going to make somebody miss and there's nobody back there in order to make a play. So, you know, you can sometimes make a huge run when other teams are being really aggressive on how they're playing defensively. And then, you know, they took a shot at it in the fourth quarter last week, trying to block a punt, came really close to it. And, you know, I think Rock Bellantoni is a very good special teams coach. I think those guys are prepared to help them win games. And, you know, whether it's a punt return by Keontae Scott, whether it's a block punt, I think Auburn's got good kickoff returners if they get a chance to return kickoffs, which haven't had many of them this year because people have been kicking the ball deep. You know, I think Auburn's got a chance to hit one of those. In preseason, I said, I think somebody's going to return a kickoff or a touchdown this year. I'm still going to stay with that because Auburn's got really talented guys back there. But, you know, I think those two things are needed, plus throwing what Jason said about having a positive turnover margin and not just a positive turnover margin, have maybe one of those go for a pick six or at least in really good field position. So, you know, the offense doesn't have to drive 70 yards to score, maybe 30 yards.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and they've got to, like I talked about at the beginning of the show, have to hold LSU down and keep them from, you know, three sustained touchdown drives. I don't know if there's anybody that would say, you know, barring now two pick sixes or whatever, like we were talking about, that changes the scoring multiples. But if you're counting on Auburn's offense to score 24 points on its own, I just don't, against this LSU defense, I just don't see that happening. And so, you know, I think the defense factors into it in a way where they don't have to be spectacular, and you know, forcing turnovers would be nice. But I just think long, sustained drives, which we saw Missouri do twice and then never do the rest of the game. So obviously they had a really good second half there, and they're feeling pretty nice heading into this game. But I think you've got to keep LSU in the teens. I think if this game ends up being another 17-14, Auburn feels better about its chances. Whereas if we're in the third quarter and LSU has just scored its third touchdown and now they have 24 points on the board, that's going to make things pretty difficult. So anyway, our score predictions now, again, you guys can always read them on Thursday mid-morning on the website. We'll have them. So you'll get Phillips. I know he's not on here tonight, but you'll get his along with everybody else's. Mark is still firmly in the lead of our fearless forecaster standings heading into week five.
That could change. We got some tough picks this week.
This is a tough one. We're starting to see more ranked versus ranked. We were talking before we started about Kentucky and Ole Miss being a tough one to go through. We'll talk about some of those games here in just a few minutes, because it is a really good slate of games. I'm excited to be able to watch some of the early games. But, Jason, how do you see this one playing out on Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't think LSU's a juggernaut, but I think they're finding some things offensively with Jaden Daniels. And, you know, you get Kayshon Booty back, Malik Nabers outside. I mean, they got some guys that obviously it's LSU. You can go ahead and say they got some wide receivers that can make plays. And so I think about them. I think about, you know, Dash. I mean, they got some really talented guys. And the key for me is you know, Jaden Daniels running the ball. We've seen Auburn at times have issues with quarterback runs, trying to create pressure, do some of those things. Jaden Daniels leads LSU in rushing. I think he's the difference in this game. Picked the LSU 27-20. I actually think, you know, that this is an LSU team that has some issues of its own. I think Auburn will find a way to play better. I just don't know if I can find enough offense for Auburn to win this game.
Yeah, I'm a little bit wider on the margin. I've got LSU winning 28-13. And, you know, I thought about making the margin even larger and probably statistical reasons to do that. But, you know, I think Auburn's going to play hard. The game being at Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday night could be an advantage for Auburn too. And I'm not 100% convinced that LSU is, you know, everything it needs to be competitive in the SEC West, at least for challenging for the divisional title. But I'm with Jason on Jaden Daniels. I really like the guy. And, you know, one of the ways you pull an upset at Jordan-Hare Stadium is get the crowd frenzy with some quarterback sacks. But, well, this guy is just slippery back there. He's going to be very difficult to sack. And he's got really good receivers. You know, he's probably got five or six really talented wide receivers. And he's going to give them time to get open. So that could be a problem. So unless, you know, Derek Hall, who played really well last year against LSU, has a great game, and two or three other guys on the defensive front have a great game. And unless Auburn gets more aggressive with his blitz packages and some of those come home, I just don't see Auburn holding LSU under 20 points, which is what I agree with you guys. That's what they probably need to do to pull off the upset.
Yeah, I remember last week, me and Phillip both accidentally, maybe it was subconscious, said ahead of them playing Missouri that this was a show me game for Auburn's offense. Well, if that was the case, then against Missouri, they didn't show very much. And that's just, you know, I was doing the story today, kind of compiling the statistics for this week, heading into this game. And I just keep going back to, it was especially true last week, but now they have even another game under their belt. This stretch of games here at the start, Penn State is obviously the outlier. It's a ranked team, and that's probably going to be a top 10 team. Might be a top 8 or 7 team here in the next couple weeks. Everybody else should not be good competition. Mercer, San Jose State, and Missouri. That should, if you're Auburn and your talent level, that should not be stiff competition. So I just, at this point, it's still the show me phase, but also it's kind of they have shown me, because when you're talking about three of your four games are against Mercer, San Jose State, and Missouri, and some of their numbers are what they are on offense. It's like Jason said, where to now? Because now you start playing the big boys in the SEC from here on out. And this is what you started with through these four games. So I say all that to say I'm just not confident in this offense. I'd be shocked if they – at this point, I'd be not shocked, but I don't know if they score more than one offensive touchdown in this game. You know, there'd be, I think, on a level playing field, which is what you kind of have to do for predictions. Obviously, turnovers or whatever, kickoffs or whatever, if they do that, sure, if they'll have better field position. But I've got LSU 24-13 in this game. I think they'll be able to cover. I think, like we've been talking about this whole time, if they get over 20 points, they'll have a pretty good opportunity to go in there and win. So I'm interested to see everybody's picks tomorrow. I would imagine we got a clean sweep for LSU, and I'm interested on Friday to look at the national media predictions, you know, where we go grab 50 plus, 60 plus predictions. I'm interested to see how much love Auburn gets in there, if people think Auburn can get a turnaround game here. So looking at the schedule here, guys, well, we can talk about it briefly, but you know, there are really good games this weekend, and we talked about at the beginning of the show, Jason, this Ole Miss Kentucky game, this is tricky. I mean, this is this is not an easy game to peg. I mean, if you're Kentucky, you get Chris Rodriguez back, but behind an offensive line that isn't great. And if you're Ole Miss, you know they're going to score a bunch of points. That's where I come down. You know, Kentucky's, if we're talking about 20-plus for LSU and Auburn, I think Kentucky's got to get to 28-30 in order to hang around this game.
Yeah, Kentucky's offensive line has been such a strength the last few years. It's not this year. They're not running the ball very well. I think they've been sacked. The only team that's been sacked more than them is Colorado State, which is terrible news because this Ole Miss defense isn't very good. But if you let them get after the quarterback a little bit, they can do some of that. And so I still pick Kentucky to win. I think it's a close game. I think those guys know how to win. We'll see if you know, Jackson Dart you know, how are they going to be able to throw the ball? Because I think Kentucky's defense is good enough to go, you're not going to run for 300 against us. And so I pick Kentucky to win a close one.
Yeah, I'm the other way. I'm going to go with Ole Miss. And it's not because I feel all that wonderful that Ole Miss is the better team. I just have them with a home field advantage. That might be enough.
There's a sneaky top 10 game this week between Clemson and NC State. Clemson number 5, NC State number 10. I say sneaky. It's the primetime kick on ABC. So I mean, just, you know, in our realm of things, it's not getting as much attention as maybe some of the other games. I will say something that interesting that was brought up today is also maybe that we should have our eyes a little bit more on Alabama going to Arkansas. And Alabama's done a good job against the lower competition on their schedule, and they did what they should have done against Vanderbilt last week, but last time they went on the road against Texas, had a lot of problems, and if Texas had had their starting quarterback for that whole game, they certainly would have won there. Arkansas had its fair share of issues, but it's first time in a while. It happened, you know, a couple times in the past decade when you had those really good quarterbacks for Arkansas, certainly before Sam Pittman got there, but it's the first time in a while that Alabama's heading to Fayetteville, and Arkansas actually feels like it might have a chance to win that game.
Yeah. Oh, I think they must eat Mexican food, because I think that must be gas. I after watching Texas A&M and watching KJ Jefferson try to throw the ball, I just don't like Arkansas's chances to go and score a bunch of points. He's just not a good enough passer. And so this Alabama front has gotten better. And, you know, I don't know if Alabama scored a ton of points. I just don't think Arkansas is going to score enough to win at home.
Yeah, I think Alabama is going to win by a couple touchdowns. But, you know, it's not inconceivable Arkansas could pull off the upset, because we're still a little bit in the dark about just how good Alabama is. And a road game like this will give us a better idea. But there's no doubt Alabama's got the talent. They're just trying to put everything together. And I thought Vanderbilt – did a good job of building that offensive confidence up for Alabama offense. wasn't playing with a lot of confidence earlier in the season. And this is a big week in the ACC. In addition to that NC State Clemson game, you got Wake Forest and Florida State. And I think those two games will go a long way to determining whether or not that conference has anybody that's going to be under consideration for the playoff.
Yeah, we've seen NC State have these opportunities. You're talking about your show me game. This time for NC State to show somebody something. They've been picked, and now they're in the top 10. They got to win one of these games sooner or later.
I think they could do it, but the game's at Clemson, which is a big problem because they got such a great home crowd there. But Clemson's got a very inconsistent quarterback, and I think that sort of evens the playing field a little bit in this game. I think last year North Carolina State played really well against Clemson. And so they'll probably go in there with some confidence. But, you know, that's the kind of place you go in there and you make a couple mistakes early. Clemson gets into it. The crowd gets into it. And they could just bull rush you and you're out of the game by halftime.
Yeah, we'll find out a little bit more about NC State these next few weeks. This game, then they host Florida State the week after that, which is a good game. Then they go at Syracuse, which has turned out to be a pretty plucky team here in the early season. So we'll find out if NC State really belongs there in the top 10, top 15. There's another SEC West game that's interesting between you got Texas A&M heading on the road at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is always an enigma, but they've found a way to beat. I mean, they won this game last year over Texas A&M in College Station. So you know, just some more data that we'll get this week on some of Auburn's future opponents. I'm trying to look here at the rest.
Yeah,
of the
I don't know. Mississippi State, and I don't know why.
I
think it's because I don't believe in Texas A&M's offense at this stage of the season.
Yeah, and Anaya Smith gets hurt and is out for the rest of the year.
That's a big deal.
I mean, he is their one weapon now. You know, Evan Stewart, true freshman, came on and made some plays last week, and he's going to be a guy. But A-Chain is really good running back, but you take away punt returner, kick returner, your most dangerous weapon outside at wide receiver from Max Johnson, and I don't like their chances of scoring enough points to win and start.
Yeah, you never know when Mississippi State's going to score 10 points or if they'll come out and win this game, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to score 35 against A&M, but it may only take 20.
Yeah, yeah. You look at, like I was talking about, some of Auburn's numbers toward the bottom of the SEC. I guess you wouldn't be surprised, but for a ranked team, there's a lot of those metrics where A&M is not in points per drive, points per play, offensive efficiency, passing offense. They're not in great territory. They're down there with the likes of Auburn, Vanderbilt, and Missouri here in the early season. So we shall see. There'll be an interesting
win over Miami. Lost some of his luster.
I certainly did.
Got rolled at home last week by Middle Tennessee State. Was not even close.
So I meant to look this up. Did y'all hear/see that? Apparently, Miami has lost all three of its matchups with Middle Tennessee State.
I did not see that.
Apparently, they've played. This could be completely made up. Let's find out. Yeah, it's true.
Thank you for the big check, and we're going to kick your butt, too.
They have played three times ever, and Middle Tennessee has won all three of them. Now, granted, before this, the last time they played was 1932.
Wow.
So good while ago, but yeah, I mean, geez, what a – and that was a Middle Tennessee. They lost to James Madison 44-7.
Yes.
In week one.
Sure did.
The Miami fans booed their own team last week. Well, of course, there weren't a lot of fans.
150 of them that were
there. Well, and they got issues now. They replaced, you know, everybody's All-American quarterback. And now the other freshman, Jake Garcia, is in the mix. And so now you've – a little quarterback controversy from a guy that people thought was heading towards the first round selection and he got pulled. So yeah, they got some issues going on, down in Miami. When you start talking about a team that everybody said, well, Miami and Texas, oh, they're back. Here we go. And we're both sitting here, you know, 4 weeks into the season, they both got two losses.
Yeah. We know better. at this point than
the Denver. I didn't, because I picked Texas to win and Texas Tech.
I did the same.
That was, I mean, that was one of those flip a coin games. I misflipped.
Yeah, you had Texas Tech had to come out this week and apologize. I don't know if y'all saw that video. The guy just trucking that Texas player. It's just crazy. That's quite the rivalry. Maybe they'll keep that one going once Texas comes into the SEC. But anyway, we'll probably go ahead and wrap it up there. Lots of good football this weekend, and we're recording this on Wednesday night. On Thursday, you get to watch some SEC football because of the hurricane. It got moved up. South Carolina's playing South Carolina State at 6 p.m. on SEC Network. And if you're not a big NFL person, you'd rather watch college football, you can watch Florida and UCF both play on Sunday because their games got moved back because of the hurricane as well. So me personally, that's what I'll be doing. I'd actually rather watch Florida play Eastern Washington.
Yeah, not even close. Yes.
Than the NFL. And UCF plays SMU. That'll be a pretty Rhett Lashley versus
Gus Malzahn. Rhett versus Gus. If we can find that game somewhere on a stream somewhere.
I don't see, it doesn't have a channel.
It doesn't show it up right now. So we might have to pay for night vision to watch that game or something. So.
What's the baseball Flow Sports?
Oh yeah, no, don't remind me. Flow Sports, baseball, softball. Yeah,
we'll go find bowling,
wrestling.
Yep, bowling, wrestling, and Rhett Lashley versus Gus Malzahn, all in the same camp. But all right, we will let y'all go. Appreciate everybody for listening today and tuning in. We will have the next episode will be the pregame podcast that I recorded. Again, Glenn West from Go247, the LSU site, recorded that one today, and that one will go up Saturday morning. Probably posted to the feed actually on Friday, so you guys can get in and get your last minute fix on LSU. Again, 6 p.m. Central Time, ESPN Auburn takes on LSU inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Thank you again so much, everybody, for listening. Please leave us a 5-star review if you are so inclined. That is the number one thing that helps us out, helps us continue to grow. The bumper music is by Beats by Mordecai. You guys can follow him on Twitter, SoundCloud, and Instagram. And until the next episode, we will catch y'all later. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week.
Win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.